Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. So if you guys both want to go ahead and introduce yourselves, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Okay. Hi, guys. So my name is Briggy, and basically I have been working in the e-commerce ecosystem for a while. Basically, back in the days, like very early in my career, I know nothing about tech. That was a kind of long journey for me. I spent a lot of hours on reading of how to launch and scale businesses and drive growth. And this is basically how I ended up in the e-commerce space as well, because there are a lot of people that are just really keen on, you know, just doing something that you really enjoy and do for yourself. And then I had my own first company as a startup that was payroll as a service. We got the initial traction and get going on. And right now, then I went back to the startup world to learn and just to increase what I'm still missing. And in the last couple of years, just been in the e-commerce space, stayed in the startup ecosystem, so no more fintech. And what we are doing right now is helping B2B companies scale go-to-market channels, because what I realized at my own company and what I realized to other companies during my consulting and my original career is that there is one single issue that everybody's having, is how to find new customers and how to, you know, be better at doing that and doing it at a scale, but keeping the unit economic healthy. And this is how we ended up working together with Lucien and having our agency running on helping B2B companies find new clients and scale healthy.
Cool. And for me, my journey begins like, I think there are 8 years now. I was 18 back then, and I started as everybody, like trying to find ways to make money online, right? So I found this concept of dropshipping back then and started to learn more about it. And at one point, I started to develop my own stores. I think until I get a winning store that actually started to make money, I built like 20 of them and started to learn more about Facebook ads, Google ads. Back then, it wasn't TikTok, but there were always like influencers on YouTube. So I started to go deeper into that side. And at one point, I had like 4 stores up and running. And at one point, me and my friends, we realized there is like a huge potential in Eastern Europe to open up a Shopify agency to help other brands grow through paid acquisition. And we ran that for a while. In 2020, we realized the pandemic changed a bit the structure of shipping things through China. So the delivery times were way longer. And we said, let's stop and move into the tech side. So I started working at Vitals, at Carloop, and Gorgeous. So mostly into B2B side, helping them build more pipeline and more growth overall. And then I moved on to Global, where I met Briggy. And we started scaling that previous company as well. And last year, we thought, why not do this at scale and open up a Shopify growth agency for B2B platforms? Let's start and let's see where this could take us. So yeah, here we are.
Awesome. So as of right now, what types of customers are you serving in terms of, I guess, you know, scale and location? Can you just talk more about your customer profile?
So mostly we have B2B companies, so high growth stages who know why they are existing, meaning that they have, you know, the product market fit. Of course, there is still, you know, a strong aspect of the founder assets, and I think there should be still a kind of core source when the companies are small, and, you know, never a founder will always be a kind of great seller. But usually how we work with the companies, who are the companies that we are working, is that they have a kind of good product. They already have a kind of strong brand presence in somewhere in the ecosystem, but they would like to scale it further. And they are at the stage of, okay, which channel should I start with and how? Because there are usually 2 or 3 growth channels that are working for companies, but it can be really frustrating which channel to pick from. Because if you just go to LinkedIn and you check the communities in WhatsApp, you will just get thousands of ideas, but you can't get thousands of ideas, you know, get done and consistent on a daily basis. So we work with this kind of companies who are in the growth stage, like somewhere in the C, Series B phases, still early or open in the terms of go-to-market challenges, and they would like to to scale in a kind of more data-driven matter, because right now there is this kind of AI hype and ChatGPT hype, which gives a lot of opportunities for new companies, new technologies, and just going after those people that can be a good fit for you. It's really good right now. And basically, in one sentence, what we help them and who are the kind of customers that we are looking is that the kind of companies that would like to close their first thousands of customers basically solely on data, because right now it's possible. It was not possible 20 years ago, but right now it's there. So who are those companies who have this mindset and not just scale and follow the old traditional playbook that is not really working? Those are the companies that are we working with.
Awesome. So in terms of, you know, you mentioned that, you know, companies that are really, you know, looking to scale even more. So I guess, what kind of revenue numbers are you looking at when it comes to your clients? Is it, you know, maybe certain, you know, annual revenue, $1 million or more, a certain number, like, okay, this is going to be a good fit for us to really help them?
We usually see, like, from our current client base, we see around something like that, like over $1 million. I think our first customer had less than that, but usually we see a range between 1 and 5.
Okay. So in terms of like what specifically you're doing to help them, can you just talk more about that? Like, if I'm going to be one of your customers, like, what does that journey look like in terms of like what you're going to do to help me grow and scale?
Sure. So we offer two main services. Basically, one is called programmatic ads. They're B2B LinkedIn ads where we have a funnel trying to go after people from specific market and people who show an interest or who came in from a trigger that we found or an event that we found in the market that could qualify them as a problem aware or solution aware customer. So that's one. And the other one, it's intent-based outbound, which is something very similar, only that is based on email.
Okay. So are you running cold email campaigns like through Instantly, for example?
Yes, but very differently than what we call cold emails, because the kind of cold email is a kind of traditional concept is send a lot of emails to a bunch of people and let's see what sticks to the wall, kind of what was going in the last couple of years. And what we do differently is that just thinking about when it's really the right time to talk to a kind of new client. So for example, if you would be an e-commerce merchant, the question for you when it comes to advertising and in marketing channel is that when it's really the right time for me to advertise them. Because for example, the brand awareness at the top of the funnel, it's probably not starts with the advertising on the email campaign. It starts when the prospect, when the people are searching for certain kinds of products and maybe they don't load certain kinds of things there, or they just checking some kind of product, which is good. But the real conversation or conversion in the B2C space will happen when they actually want that kind of product. So for example, if I'm really interested in health and nutrition, I probably have a lot of e-commerce sites in my mind that I'm using or thinking of using. But if, for example, a merchant would like to think of me and get the most out of me, the question is that when that merchant should be advertised for them. And this is how we think about B2B as well, is that when is the really right time to talk to the client. And for example, if I'm selling a sales software, if there is a new sales leader joining to that company, then 1 month later, when that VP of sales settled in, then I have a higher chance to talk to them that, okay, what's going on with the quota? Or if I'm selling the sales intelligence software, then, okay, how you are making sure that you are keeping up to date yourself. If you are finding this best timing just through your data, you can have just a better chances of getting the conversation going, because you are simply relevant at the timing, because you can be maybe relevant 2 years later or maybe earlier, but you have to find the right timing when they are in the buying momentum or the consideration of when they have a need. Like, you should not advertise to pregnancy vitamins if a woman is not pregnant. And this is the same with a B2B. If they are going well and they have no issue for sales or marketing, then you are probably not going to sell them a marketing related software, because they have no issue with that.
So in terms of where most of your clients are located, are they mostly in Europe or in the US, or who exactly are you working with when it comes to geography?
Majority of them are US and Canada.
So in terms of, you know, when it comes to e-commerce, do you see, you know, lots of growth opportunities in Europe as well, or are you just only focused on North America mostly? It's like, where do you see, I guess, in terms of growth, like for your company the next, you know, year or two?
I guess when we started, our core market was purely Shopify and B2B platforms, right? So we focus a lot on where Shopify sits the most, and it's always going to be US and Canada. That's why most of the B2B platforms are there. But there are also like a lot of really good companies, for example, in Israel, in Europe as well, in the Baltic states, tons of really good B2B companies in the Shopify space. So mainly US, but there are some exceptions in Europe as well.
Have you looked into expanding outside of Shopify? I think that many people, you know, obviously Shopify is great. We love Shopify too, but I think it's like, you know, depending on scale, some people might say, okay, now it's a point where I'm going to go custom and I, you know, move off of Shopify and build my own solution. So do you serve people in that space? And if not, is that something that you're kind of looking at as well?
Yeah, at one point we started scaling outside of like e-commerce as a whole. I don't say like outside of Shopify because yeah, WooCommerce, Magento and so on are also platforms out there, but most of them don't have like an app store or an ecosystem where you can start picking potential customers from. So we went outside of e-commerce with developer-based B2B platforms. So we worked with, we started with a customer in that space, I think earlier, a couple of months ago.
Also, interesting thing that I would add, I think when it comes to the growth channels or scalable channels, I think one really important thing when it comes to clients is who are their ideal customer profile and how big is that, right? Because, for example, when it comes to Europe or US in general, talking about B2B, is that statistically there are more startups in US because just, you know, the market is bigger and it's a different kind of ecosystem for starting and running a business. Let's just take a look at Shopify. But when it comes to EU, the entire thinking about growth and operations, it's also kind of different level how US and Europe work. So they are, and when it comes to those clients, they also see that they work very differently and those kind of patterns. And in terms of e-commerce, who are when you really want to build a predictable channels and pure on data and growth, what is really matter is that is my target market is big enough to do this as well. Because if you are selling a kind of software solution that you know is really high tech, more so enterprise-ish, you probably don't want to automate those kinds of things because it's more like relationship focused or, you know, slower motion. But when it comes to the high velocity sales, when it's just really like a B2C business, when it's just another one, those are the kind of good channels that is really good to programmatically scale it and do it. And those are the kind of clients that we are mostly working with that has a kind of easy to sell product, simple, don't need the kind of lot of sales touches. And after the demo, you know, it's not 20 calls with a lot of CSM and solution engineering to figure that out because that kind of sales cycle is just longer and a different motion generally.
Makes sense. So what's some of the biggest challenges that you're facing right now in your business?
I guess one would be mostly, at least this year, for example, in the previous years, there was a bigger allocation of budgets for marketing teams, right? So this year, at least, I guess when people started cutting off, firing people, the next thing would be like decreasing the budgets on marketing and sales. So we find that startups these days don't allocate that much to marketing that they used to do like 1 year or 2 years ago. And another one would be like where founders have this idea of, I would need a salesperson to start doing sales before me doing my own sales, right? So they don't want to get into the sales path. They want to keep building their own product and hire somebody to externalize the sales part. So they don't want to start with an automation at first. They want to start with a real person doing the sales, build the sales motion. And maybe after that would be interested in automating that part and improving it and optimizing the flow.
But do you still feel like, you know, when it comes to SaaS that, or just in general, you know, I think when it comes to high ticket, I think that most people still probably want to talk to somebody, right? That they don't want to just go and purchase something without, it's kind of this weird like thing in your mind where for some people, it depends like on that price point, right? You know, and I think for some people, it's like, if it's like under $1,000 or whatever, they'll be okay, yeah, it's fine. So I think it just depends like, I guess, or at least like my question is like more of like what you're seeing in terms of, you know, certain price points when it comes to closing some of these deals. People say, okay, I don't need to talk to somebody as opposed to like, I have to have this conversation.
Yeah. So our two channels that we work mostly are focused on getting them into a call with a person, right? Either if it's the founder or salesperson. So we're always like demo driven versus product led growth. So nobody's going to take their own action from an email and go and buy a $1,000 product ever, or I hope not. They'll always need a personal touch. But until that point, all the top of the funnel, we work on automating that part to make sure that if they have a salesperson or if the founder is pretty busy, they'll always have their calendar booked with potential customers.
That makes sense. Yeah. Plus, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. And maybe one also other way how we can think about this is just generally when it comes to business. So like say SaaS marketing and how kind of they work together. And that's kind of still kind of make conversation about the alignment. But why I think it's also important here is because what happens until a person books a demo, right? Or regardless if it's happening on the website or if it's happening from SaaS email or ads, the question is that what is required from person to do that. And I think that's when the real automation came in place, because if you know that there are 100 people, companies that are, you know, I could sell my software and service, but I don't want a sales rep to focus too much on them because just the ACV that I can get small, then probably want more automation just because you want to be very healthy on the economics level, meaning that the really good reps and experience focus on and go after and hand the big wealth, but you don't want to, you know, put the same effort into the smaller businesses. And when it comes to the middle ground is that how sales marketing and also work together, okay, how the automation and the human touch that a person can do and that kind of personalization, how can work together. And in that term, this is where the growth kind of mindset comes together, meaning that how I can help my reps to be more effective and focus on selling. And the real answer from automation and AI perspective is not that they are spending time on three different tools, finding the valid email addresses of the person, spend just 2 hours on this before doing a cold call or before sending an email. That's kind of thing that you can automate so they can just really focus on cold calling and you know, adding the personalized touch, not jumping into different kind of software. And the last part is definitely the high touch sales when it's lower, meaning that slower, and they do most of the part, but the operation kind of things can break or make their life easier.
Makes sense. So I get just like out of all the people that you work with, what would you say there are certain things that make people, you know, more successful than others, like certain qualities that you see and have noticed throughout your career?
I think it's a great question, and I think we can have a lot of answers on this. One thing that I would definitely highlight is the mindset and attitude. So I think when it comes to the mindset is that how you imagine generally the company, right? Like, for example, some companies by default from the start, just more data-driven, like how they manage the customer success, what information they want to collect, and how they automate their daily operation kind of task. And that tells a lot about that if we... that tells a lot about that how we can and how successful can be together. Because, for example, I also automate a lot of stuff that I think does not give me too much value, just really on a daily basis. And if we see that certain companies also do this just for their own stuff, we don't talk about sales and marketing, that's kind of good flag for us that, okay, there is a mindset there that how you can, you know, not just use data and have data just for the sake of having data, but actually leveraging it. And second is definitely attitude that I think there are a lot of people who want to be good and famous for not, you know, putting effort into the things. And it also happens with a later level. Of course, founders are so engaged into everything, but you also have to be patient for those results. So it's not enough that you are more enthusiastic than the others and you have the drive, but you have to be patient for that until those kind of things going well. And you have to sometimes accept that some channels works for you, sometimes not. And you have to keep iterating. And then, yeah, if nothing works and it's not working, yeah, move ahead and focus on another channel.
Yeah, patience is key. It's funny because on most of these interviews, you know, we talk to many founders and they always say the most common trend is like things will always take longer than you think. That's just always, you know, how it is, especially early on. So it's like having that patience and saying, okay, like I'm making progress, having the right conversations with the right people. And that's really going to help you kind of, you know, gear off into being more, you know, in a scalability and you know, going in that right direction. Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or just best way to get in contact with you guys?
Sure. It's basically growthcube.io. They can book a demo from there or they can reach out to both of us over on LinkedIn. I'm Luciano Coleman on LinkedIn and Brigitte Aruja.
Awesome. Well, I want to say thank you both for your time today. It was a pleasure chatting with you and I'm rooting for you, wishing you the best of luck. You know, hopefully you guys keep growing and have a great Q4.
Totally. It was a pleasure being here.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye.
Have a good one.
Thanks.